dick.
DSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Good morning, happy Monday to you. Welcome into a new week here on the program. Hope you had a good weekend. I did. I had a paranormal event Saturday night and then took it easy yesterday. So I don't even know what the weather was like yesterday. But I woke up this morning to lots of people. I never even left the house. I basically go between two rooms in my house. My bedroom and my office slash living room, and that's pretty much what I did yesterday. And I have all my shades, all my blinds drawn to keep the house cool. Although yesterday, when I went into my office slash living room, I had the air conditioning going all night. I had turned that off, and I ended up having to turn the heater on. I have a little room heater, a little space heater. Maybe I was just chilled, but it was a beautiful night, Saturday night. And I guess it must have been a nice night last night because I saw photos when I woke up all over social media of local people who were capturing the aurora outside. They were out there looking for the Perseid meteor shower. And they could see the aurora on the skyline, so it's made for some really beautiful photos. So if you got some of those and you want to send them in to us, you can do so on the WBSM app. You can use the app chat feature or the send audio video feature, or you can email them Tim at WBSM.com. Maybe we'll put together a little gallery if we get enough of them. But there were some really, really nice looking photos this morning. So if you were lucky enough to see any of the stuff that was going on in the sky and you want to share it, go right ahead. So just so you know, today, for those of you who didn't catch Friday's show, we have moved Jack Spillane and are turning on the light segment to Fridays, at least for the tennis season. We'll see if it's going to be a permanent change. But Jack is semi-retired, and as he was explaining to us, you know, he plays tennis on Monday mornings. And he was cutting it too close, leaving the studio. On Fridays, he doesn't play tennis, so it makes a little bit more sense in that regard. It also makes more sense because usually if he writes something that week, it's published on Wednesday or Thursday. So this way here, we can get it. And then, as he mentioned too, a lot of the city meetings will happen before he comes on, especially full council meetings on Thursday nights. So it just makes a lot more sense. So that's going to be changed over to Fridays. But however, today is Money Monday. So coming up at 7 a.m., we'll be joined by Manny the Money Man Resendiz of Euclid Financial to talk about retirement. And maybe you're starting to think to yourself, well, listen, I see all these different reports about the economy. I don't know whether I should retire or not. Manny will talk us through all of that and more. There's some unfortunate news that came over the weekend, as you heard Phil give you at the top of the hour. A young woman drowning in Taunton. And although we don't know all the details yet, the Bristol County District Attorney's Office said that it was not considered suspicious. And as I was putting that story out yesterday, I was trying to find a photo to go with it. And so I was taking a photo of Bunk Pond from Google Maps, kind of the overhead shot, and I realized there's like, it's not like this is a beach that I could see any roads and pathways to. It looked like there was a little bit of a clearing area, but that it was mostly woods surrounding it. So this is like the kind of pond that's in the woods behind a neighborhood that people probably walk through the woods to get to. And those kind of ponds, because they're not used as a beach, they haven't been kind of graded. Sometimes you go out in them and you think you're in a shallow area, and then it has a sharp drop off. So maybe it was something like that. But I'm just speculating. Don't take that as any kind of information, because we haven't received any more info. And then also yesterday, you heard Phil mention the story of the 62-year-old man who was struck and killed in North Attleboro. And unfortunately, we have to open up the show each Monday with these unfortunate stories, these tragic stories. It's the second drowning that I can recall this summer. It seems like there's a fatal motor vehicle accident every weekend. And I'm sorry that we have to open the show with sad news, but tragic news, but we've got to report to you what's happening. So we can shift that in different directions. But one thing that I think is important here as we are heading into the final stretch of the summer and in a few weeks Labor Day weekend is reiterating safety, something that we take for granted. I mean, I don't want to speculate that, you know, there was any partying or drinking involved in any of these cases. But, you know, that's step one, is when you're celebrating and partying in the summer, party responsibly. Don't get behind the wheel if you've been drinking. If you are on the road, it is summertime. People are out walking. People are out on motorcycles and mopeds and other forms of transportation that it might be a little bit harder to see if you're driving distracted. So be aware of your surroundings and just put the cell phone down. And then, obviously, on the other side of it, people need to be vigilant. If you are on a motorcycle, if you are on a moped, if you are walking down the street, you know, I wonder how many of these people blame distracted driving all the time for some of these, you know, car versus pedestrian crashes. But I'm sure sometimes it's distracted pedestrians too, because you think because you're walking down the road, walking down the sidewalk, you're safe. And yeah, I can look at my phone as I'm walking. Now, I can't do that. I'd walk into a phone pole or something. But I guess that's the thing we've got to preach here a little bit as we head into this final stretch of summer and into the fall. That's just try to be as safe as possible. Don't take anything for granted, because there's too many of these stories. That is the number to call in and chime in. You can also send app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. It's a new contest week on WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. If you recall, last week we were giving away tickets to see 30 Seconds to Mars. And I've got to tell you, we've done a lot of contests this summer, and I have not seen people respond back to winning tickets as quickly as the folks who did, who won 30 Seconds to Mars tickets. So those folks must have been refreshing their email every day to see if they were winners. And that's how you'll know if you are. If you enter to win one of our ticket giveaway contests, you just enter your information on the website, If you are selected as one of the winners, Casey sends you an email. She tells you that you're the winner. You sign something virtually, digitally, send it back to her, and then she can send the tickets to your Ticketmaster or Live Nation app. And it's worked out great. People have been able to just get them and either use them themselves or transfer them to somebody else. And so last week we gave away 30 Seconds to Mars. This week we are giving away tickets to see Avril Lavigne at Xfinity Center on Saturday, August 24th. It's her greatest hits tour, and she's bringing along Simple Plan and Girlfriends as the other acts on the bill. But if you are an Avril Lavigne fan, you will hear all of the top songs from her, you know, 20-year career now. It's hard to imagine. Avril Lavigne's been around that long. I mean, she was so young when she came out, and she's still pretty young now that it seems odd that it was 20. But yeah, 20 years, 20 plus years. But you can enter to win those tickets now at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, and we will be giving them away all week long. Let me see if I want to tease what's coming up after that. And of course, all of our ticket giveaways with Tim's Tickets here in the morning are brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits on Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy, and where rosés are 10% off throughout the month of August. So this week is Avril Lavigne. Next week, I think a lot of you might want to jump on this one. Rob Zombie and Alice Cooper performing together. Then the next 2 weeks after that, we're going to have James Taylor tickets. And I think that's all that I'll tease for now. But I'm looking at this list, and it looks like we are going well into October with these giveaways. But this week, it's Avril Lavigne, and you can enter to win at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. So, as I mentioned, Saturday night, I had a ghost event. And I think I'm going to write something about this one. Because I had some pretty weird things go on. And it's one of the first times that I can provide a photo of something. Now, it's not a photo of a ghost, but it was a weird situation. So this place that we were investigating was the Weymouth Teen Center. And its former life was, it was the Weymouth Police Station. And before that, there was a church on the site that had burned down. So when they were doing their investigations, and so what happened was, they brought my friend Christy Parrish, who runs the Oliver House and the Emory Estate and all the ghost stuff that goes on at those places. They brought her in to teach a paranormal course to some of the kids after school. They try to offer them different hobbies and activities that they'll be interested in. And so there's a group of kids that were interested in the paranormal. So they brought Christy in to teach them. And they investigate the teen center as part of that class. And they've had all kinds of stuff happen. And they will get a lot of religious stuff that they think is related to when it was a church on that site. And they get some other things as well. And so we started off the night in like the main hangout room where the teens all play video games and do homework and play bumper pool and video games and stuff like that. And we were doing something that's called the Estes method, which if you've seen some of the paranormal shows, you've seen people doing it. But basically, it's when you use, we use a device, an app to talk with spirits, supposedly, that has every piece of phonetic human speech. It's called EchoVox. Every piece of human speech, every phonetic sound programmed into it. And then it just randomly cycles through. And there's six different banks of this, so the odds of it stopping on a word are really low. But yet you get words that come out of it. And with the Estes method, we've taken it up another notch, which that's where you have somebody, you know, wearing a blindfold and noise-canceling headphones and just saying what they hear, so they don't hear the questions that the people in the room are asking. They're only repeating what's coming out of the device. That way they're not influenced by the question into trying to hear what they think the answer will be. And at one point, it started telling us that it was Michael, who was this kid that was involved at the teen center in its early days back in the 90s, and who was an artist. He drew a mural that's on the wall, and he was talking about that there was something on the back wall. We thought he was talking about his mural, but then he's like, take a picture. So I started taking pictures of all the walls in the room. And in one of the windows, there was a little smiley face drawn in the window. And I just assumed that was from one of the teen kids having done that. One of the teen kids, you know, drawing on the window, just messing around, and nobody had washed the window since. And then it said that it was, you know, this Michael spirit said that it was actually him that drew it. And I said, well, if you drew it, what is it? And it said face. I said, well, that's pretty interesting. And I said, can you draw something else for us? And it said heart. And Kathy, the director of the teen center, she said, well, there is a heart that one of the kids drew and cut out and hung in the window over there. And it said upper left. So I went to the window that would have been the upper left window of, you know, based on where we were sitting, and looked at it. I didn't see anything. So I took a photo. And when I took a photo, there in my photo is kind of a foggy picture of a heart. So I don't know. That just kind of blew my mind a little bit. Could it have been that a kid drew that? Yeah, but how does this thing know to tell us to go there? And then later on, we were doing the same thing, and my grandmother came through, which is the first time she's ever come through in any of the paranormal stuff that I've done, which I'm surprised by, because she was always interested in it, and I thought she would do that sooner. And she'd come to me in a dream previously that turned out to be, you know, said something in the dream that turned out to come true. So I was a little touched by that moment. Anyway, cool place. They're going to be doing more ghost hunt events there in the future because it helps raise money for the teen center and for the programming that they put on there. And that's what I like about doing these events, is that we're able to help with local organizations and to keep local history going. And that's what it's all about. I made the mistake of sharing the event in a Weymouth Town Facebook group, because I was like, well, maybe some people will want to come out and take part in this. Maybe, you know, their dad was a cop and they'd heard stories about the police station, or, you know, maybe they went there when they were teens 20 years ago and they always thought that it was weird, and maybe they just want to come out and help support the kids in town. And instead, I just got inundated with religious zealots telling me how ghosts are demons and I'm bringing in demonic influence and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah. Sorry to disappoint you, Weymouth people, but there were no demons. Anyway, 508-996-0500. I'm going to take my first break of the morning. We will be back in just a few moments. We've had, but I couldn't tell you. And welcome back. I like coming back right at 6:30 on the dot, but I also should shut up because that means it's time to get turn things over to Phil Devitt in the WBSM newsroom. Take it away, Phil.
Biden speaks out on ending his reelection campaign. The FDA approves an alternate to the EpiPen, and some history made at the weekend box office.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Biden is explaining why he decided to end his reelection campaign.
In an interview with CBS Sunday Morning, Biden implied he was indeed thrown under the bus by his own party and all those pesky down-ballot races.
But what happened was a number of my Democratic colleagues in the House and Senate thought that I was going to hurt them in the races. And I was concerned if I stayed in the race, that would be the topic.
Biden announced last month he would end his campaign amid pressure from other Democrats following his poor debate performance against Trump and amid concerns over his mental acuity. I'm Rob Martier.
Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg is responding to J.D. Vance's criticism of Minnesota Governor Tim Walz's military service. In an interview with CNN's State of the Union, Buttigieg cited Walz's 24 years of service in the National Guard.
The fact that a veteran wants to go out and disparage another veteran just goes against certainly everything I learned during my time in service.
He added that Vance has suddenly become particular about precision in speech and honesty, yet he's Donald Trump's running mate. Vance has criticized comments Walz made in 2018 in which he said he handled assault weapons in war. The Harris-Walz campaign said the Minnesota governor misspoke at the time. Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton says the worst is yet to come if Kamala Harris is elected president in November. During an interview on Fox News Sunday, the Republican senator criticized Harris's position on the Israel-Hamas conflict, claiming the Biden administration has emboldened Iran and their proxies.
Kamala Harris's comments yesterday, like her policy towards Israel for the last 10 months, just an example of how she's unprepared to be the commander-in-chief.
He criticized Harris for refusing to take questions about which direction she wants to take the country. Cotton said the more that voters learn about Harris, the less they're going to support her. A 4-year-old boy and his dog are among the victims of Friday's plane crash near Sao Paulo, Brazil. The boy was traveling with his mother and grandmother, all of whom have Brazilian and Venezuelan citizenship. The plane was operated by regional carrier Vopas, which updated the death toll to 62 after including a passenger who'd not been accounted for. All of the bodies have been recovered and most have been transported to the Sao Paulo police morgue. Officials say there were 34 males and 28 females on board, and there were no survivors. The FDA is approving the first needle-free alternative to the EpiPen. Here's Dina Kodiak.
It's a single-use nasal spray to treat allergic reactions in emergencies. Neffy from ARS Pharmaceuticals can be used in adults and some children. The FDA says this may alleviate the fear of injections, making Neffy an important treatment option. I'm Dina Kodiak.
And husband and wife Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively are dominating the box office. Reynolds' Deadpool and Wolverine took the top spot at the box office for the third straight week. The Marvel Studios film took in $54 million to help bring its global total to just over $1 billion. Meanwhile, Lively's It Ends With Us blew past expectations with $50 million at its debut weekend to take second place. The last time a husband and wife duo took the top two spots at the box office was in 1990 when Bruce Willis's Die Hard 2 finished in first and Demi Moore's Ghost debuted in second.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox begin a 3-game set with the Texas Rangers at Fenway tonight at 7:10. And the Patriots are gearing up for their second preseason game. That's Thursday with the Philadelphia Eagles at Gillette Stadium.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Plenty of sun today, a slight chance of showers this afternoon. Highs near 80 inland, a few degrees cooler right on the coast. Clear tonight, making way for a totally sunny Tuesday with a high of 82. If you're wondering about humidity, levels will be comfortable for the whole week, and we're looking at sunny skies until we get to the weekend. Weather on WBSM is brought to you by SeaStreak. Whether it's a daycation or a staycation, get there with SeaStreak. Visit SeaStreak.com for reservations to Martha's Vineyard or Nantucket. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM. And get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Don't sleep, baby, sleep right now. No, it's 6:35 in the morning, just about 6:36. It's time to wake up, right? Well, maybe. Some of you probably have the alarm go off earlier than you actually need to get up. That's what I do. I have a series of alarms to ensure that I get up in the morning. First one goes off at, well, it depends on the day and what I have to do in the morning. Like, for example, today, I messed myself up and took a nap late yesterday afternoon. So I didn't go to sleep until almost midnight. So I set my first alarm for 4 a.m. Then I have another alarm across the room that goes off at 4:15. And then my cell phone alarm goes off again at 4:30. And then if I don't get up by that point, my WBSM app goes off at 4:35. But I usually get up on the first one. The other ones are just redundancies. But I guess some of you probably don't have to get up that early. And you might just have your alarm go off. You might have your WBSM app alarm go off and you're hearing me now, but you know you don't have to get out of bed for another half hour or so. So then you can sleep, baby, sleep. Until the next alarm goes off. I find that it's weird. And maybe it's my own fear. Because I was forever late for the longest time. And I've fixed that for the most part. I'm not nearly as bad as I used to be. I usually get here on time for the show. And when I have to go other places, I'm usually right on time or a few minutes early. But I was always forever late. And still there'll be things that I, you know, leave later than I should and run behind. But it's weird. When I go to bed for, you know, at night, I need multiple alarms to wake me up. But if I go and take a nap in the afternoon, most of the time, I just get right up. You know, I set an alarm, but I only need one. And sometimes I wake up a few minutes before the alarm goes off. It's weird. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing all right.
We had a great few weeks. We had my nephew was down from, great nephew. He's 6 years old. From California, and it was like for all the little cousins all to get together down here.
Yeah.
And Jamie came from Hawaii with her husband and her daughter.
I saw some of her photos. Yeah.
Yeah, they went to Edaville. They had a blast there, and they went there. I think it was last Saturday night, and they had a really good time. My brother went. There was like 13 of them that went all together. And that's the little ones and then their parents and stuff like that. So then, and then they went to see New Kids on the Block the other night. Because Jamie saw them, New Kids on the Block, when she was little. Her mother brought her and her little sister. And then my other sister brought three of her kids and they all went together when they were all small. So now when they were all bigger, now she brought her little girl. And she said they were fantastic.
Yeah, I heard from some of our ticket winners, and they said it was an amazing show.
They said it was really, really good, yeah. And she left this morning already. They gave her only stay for 2 weeks, and she had so much stuff to squeeze in. You know, Jamie, she's so all over the place. They went to learn to do some scrimshaw, and did you see that one? What the heck was the name of that place? I forget the name. They just took a class for scrimshaw, something different like that to do. But they had a good time, and they came over here one night with so they could all, because I have three nephews here, and then they came over here, and we had like a pizza party for them and stuff, and yeah, it was fun. And then the little one, the other six-year-old from California, he was here for a whole month to stay with his father and his grandparents and stuff, and they had a nice time.
Well, it sounds,
a really good time.
Sounds like it, for sure.
Oh, yeah, but she said Edaville was really amazing. She said the whole place is beautiful, and they had a good time for
that. Yeah, they're doing a great job over there.
Yeah, my littlest one, she's 10 months old. She was on the train, and she was at the front there, and they were standing up, and they said, okay, everybody sit down. They said, she's going to be driving. She's so cute. Yeah, it was a little teeny one. But anyway, they had a really good time. I already missed them. They all went home. Well,
hopefully they'll be back before you know it.
Yeah, next year. It's usually every year. Yeah, so. All right, I'm glad you had that. That sounds really neat when you got to see that thing on the window.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little bit thrown off by it. Because I was like, am I reading too much into this? And I showed it to everybody, and everybody was like, nope, I see it. It's there. I see it. I mean, I might have to, I might have to like circle it when I put it up in an article. I might have to like kind of do the outline of it so people can see it, just because
I believe that
the photo wasn't,
evidence, yeah.
Yeah. The it wasn't kind of bright enough, I guess. And that's
right.
Yeah, you know, when we were trying to eliminate any light sources that we could in the room so that we could just take nice photos in the dark and see if anything showed up in night mode. But it's when you see it, it looks like a heart to everybody that saw it.
I'll have to look around my house with my hats.
You never know. But, they could be leaving you a sign.
Well, my a friend of mine, her son had passed, and she, every once in a while, I guess it's just been a year now, and every once in a while, she'll like be dusting or something like that, and she'll see something shaped like a heart. And she, and then she'll show it on Facebook. She'll say, oh, my son was around. Here it is again over here. And that was a poor thing. Yeah. But anyway. Well, that sounded good. Now, where was that, in Weymouth?
Weymouth, yeah. The Weymouth Teen Center.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Jenny, have a good day.
You as well. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye. And if you want to call in, 508-996-0500. Let me take my next break. We will be back in a few moments. Rosanna. And welcome back in, 508-996-0500. If you want to call in and chime in, of course, we'll also take app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Coming up at 7 o'clock, we're going to be joined by Manny the Money Man Resendiz for Money Monday. We'll talk about retirement. Couple of people who aren't going to be retiring anytime soon, maybe retiring from a life of crime or from their attempts at crime. There were two Massachusetts women who are now in a New Hampshire jail following a theft and altercation with police at the Merrimack Premium Outlet Saturday afternoon. This comes from WCVB.com. Mariah Williams, 23 years old, of Boston, and Lasonia Watler, 18, of Brockton, will appear in Merrimack District Court today. Police responded to a report of a theft in progress at the Polo Ralph Lauren factory outlet store at around 3:45 p.m. Saturday. The suspects were then found inside the nearby American Eagle outlet. Police say that as officers approached them, one suspect began emptying her shopping bags in an attempt to hide the stolen items. Police say both women resisted arrest. Williams kicked an officer in the stomach and used pepper spray, affecting not only the officers but customers in the store as well. And then Watler was stopped before attempting to use her own pepper spray. So they They came ready in case somebody tried to stop them, I guess. Now, a lot of women like to carry pepper spray on them anyway in case of an attack or an assault, but I don't think most of them are planning on using them on police officers after they allegedly steal things from a factory outlet. But think about all the people that are just shopping in the store, minding their own business. This whole thing goes down, and then they get pepper sprayed themselves. So thankfully for a lot of the customers, it was not a direct hit. But still, you're just out there shopping, and this goes down. You're like, oh, what's going on? And then you're trying to watch it, and maybe you get a little bit closer because you're trying to see what's going on, and then just hit by pepper spray. And if you've ever been in any of those outlet stores, you know, they're packed with people, especially this time of year, everybody going back to school shopping, especially on a Saturday afternoon. They're packed with people, air conditioning on. Oh, that pepper spray probably took forever to get out of there. But it said the patrons of the store who were exposed to pepper spray refused medical treatment. So hopefully that means they were able to just wash them out, wash out their eyes, and move on. Sorry, I was just trying to pull up another story here and it got held up on me. And then, of course, if you haven't heard this story already, Boston Red Sox outfielder Jarren Duran and the team have issued an apology after he used a homophobic slur during Sunday's game against the Houston Astros. He was up to bat in the bottom of the sixth when he was caught on a hot mic responding to a fan's heckling while in the midst of his at-bat. The fan told him, "You need a tennis racket." And Duran turned his attention to the fan responding, "Shut up, you expletive, expletive," which was also caught on the broadcast microphones behind home plate. So he issued a statement saying, "During tonight's game, I used a truly horrific word when responding to a fan. I feel awful knowing how many people I offended and disappointed. I apologize to the entire Red Sox organization, but more importantly, to the entire LGBTQ community. Our young fans are supposed to be able to look up to me as a role model, but tonight I fell far short of that responsibility. I will use this opportunity to educate myself and my teammates and to grow as a person." And the Red Sox also said, "The Red Sox addressed this incident with Jarren immediately following today's game. We echo Jarren's apology to our fans, especially to the LGBTQ community. We strive to be an organization that welcomes all fans to Fenway Park, and we will continue to educate our employees, players, coaches, and staff on the importance of inclusivity." So I think, you know, that's probably language that gets used around the ballpark, around the team, and, you know, maybe this incident will show them we should probably not use that language anymore. 508-996-0500. Let me take my final break of this hour, and we'll be back in a few moments. All right, that's going to do it for this hour. Stay tuned. We're going to be joined by Manny the Money Man Resendiz coming up for Money Monday in just a few moments. We'll talk retirement. We'll take your questions for Manny as well at 508-996-0500. And then it'll be more with me and you after that. And of course, no Jack Spillane today because we have moved the Turning on the Light segment to Fridays for the time.